Hey everyone, welcome back. I'm Jennifer Richmond and this is the Dwelling Richly Bible Study. Welcome back! This is the Bible study where we love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, which is exactly what we're going to be doing today. I'm really glad that you're with me. We are continuing on with our study through Esther, and we're going to be moving in the next 2 weeks just through Esther chapter 4. 5 and 6. So if you are brand new to this study, welcome. Super glad that you are with us. If you are an old seasoned soul in the study and you've been with us since the beginning, welcome back to you too. Today we'll be continuing on where we left off last time in chapter 3. And if you haven't had a chance yet to listen to the talk that will cover chapters 1, 2, and 3, go ahead and hop over to the Dwelling Richly podcast, and you're going to want to listen to that talk. I think that'll give you a good overview of that passage, of those passages, and then a good jumping off point for where we're going to be heading next. So let's go ahead and pray. Grab your Bible, grab your lesson. I'll show you how to get that in just a second, but let's pray and get into the Word. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for our time together today. Thank you for your love for us and giving us this word. And as we move into it today, I pray that you would be glorified, that we would come out of this edified and drawing closer to you in this moment as well. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, ready? I am almost ready. Hold on just a second. I gotta get my Bible. Ta-da! I want to encourage all of you guys to make sure that you're doing your study with a Bible. I know you have to do the study with a Bible. I mean, maybe you use a Bible app to look up the questions and fill in your study, or maybe you go online and you use an online study Bible or even just an online Bible. I use Bible Gateway, I use Bible Hub, and so on. But what I really want to encourage you to do is when you are reading and doing your study, to have an actual Bible with you. You know, a good bound paper, feel it in your fingers, smell it, enjoy it. Bible. I've mentioned this one before that I use, but it is a wide margin edition. This happens to be the English Standard Version, and that's generally what I quote from when we're doing our studies. But I want you to get in the habit of doing your Bible study from the Bible. And not only that, bring your Bible to church. Bring your Bible to Bible studies. Have an actual Bible with you. Studies have shown that when you are reading out of old school paper, books and Bibles in this case, that you retain more than just reading it off of your Kindle or a phone or a computer screen and things like that, because you're using more of your senses when you read it. You're actually smelling it to a certain extent. You're feeling it in your fingers. You are hearing the pages move, and then you are also seeing it in a different way because, well, for example, if you look at my Bible here, we're in Esther, and this is my blank study Bible that I use when I do a first pass through a book, and I record my thoughts, I highlight things as they occur to me and then reoccur to me, and then I remember, oh yeah, that passage I was in, Esther was in the top left-hand corner, and it was in orange, whatever. It helps me find it, you know, in the next time through when I study. I do encourage you to keep a Bible that you don't write in at all. It is nice to just go at a first read-through in something that you've never marked up before or you never used in a sermon and wrote the pastor's notes down in there. So when I do my own study, I use my wide margin study Bible. I like seeing the thoughts and comments that I've had from previous times through a passage. But my first pass through, when I'm just reading the word, I read it with no notes, no commentary. This Bible, again, is just the wide margin Bible. It's not a study Bible, so it doesn't have anybody's commentary in it. So just want to encourage you with that today. And again, as you come to church and as you come to Bible study together, as we meet together, let's be those people who show up with the Word of God in our hands. I know you've got it on your phone, and it's great when you have it like that. It's easy to look up other versions. Even in in the last message I gave at church, I encouraged everyone to get out their phone and look it up in a different translation so they can understand it in a different way. So this is certainly not me saying, hey, don't use apps and don't use the computer to look up your Bible verses with. I'm just saying there's something to be said still about coming in to the Word of God and really reading it from a book, right? And then coming together have our Bible study and as we go to church, and having your actual Bible with you. So I want to encourage you to do that. And with that, let's go ahead and move over to our study for today. As always, whenever we do the first day of a new study, we begin by reading through a passage. Let me go ahead and share the screen so that you can see that. There we go. Hi. So this is online, again, over at jennifergrichmond.com. You just go to the homepage, hit Bible Studies and Devotions, and it'll open up right here. Did this. And then you'll see all the current lessons that we're in. So the Faithful and Fearless Study, Lesson 5, and it will open up a new page for you there. Easy. There you go. So Lesson 5, Day 1, and let's go ahead and jump in and just keep going. Today's lesson is to write and memorize the word. We're in Psalm 42, 9 through 10. I'll go ahead and open it up on Bible Gateway. So that'll hop over there. But I've also included Psalm 42 at the end of the lesson. And so if you click inside, if you open up this PDF online, by the way, you'll be able to click through the lesson because I've made some of the internal links as well as the external links available to you in the lesson. So when you click Psalm 42, it will actually open up to the page that I have. Whoops, except for that one did it. Oh, it's funny that linked to Lesson 10, which is that page right there. Anyway, I'll just scroll down because Psalm 42 is next. Here it is. So let's go ahead and read all of Psalm 42 together, and then we're going to be focusing in the next 2 weeks on verses 9 and 10. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, and while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise and multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mazor. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. All right, let's head back over to our page here and continue on. Again, our verse focus for this lesson will be to memorize verses 9 and 10. So now let's go ahead and read the passages that we'll be studying over the next 2 weeks, and that's Esther 4, 1 through 6, 14. It's all of chapter 4, all of 5, and all of chapter 6. I'll let Bible Gateway find that. And again, the nice thing about using a Bible app, it makes it quick and easy for you to read it out of any translation. And so for this pass-through, I'm just asking, and you can see this right here, to read it from a different version than last time. So maybe last time you read it from ESV, pick a different version this time. Let's see. I did read it from the ESV last time, so this time let's do NIV. I'm going to switch down to that. L-M-N. Oh, the Names of God one is good too. That would be interesting because, as you know, there's no mention of the name of God in this one. New International Version will be good. We'll do that today. When Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went out to the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But he went only as far as the king's gate because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews with fasting, weeping, and wailing. Many lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's eunuchs and female attendants came and told her about Mordecai, she was in great distress. She sent clothes for him to put on instead of sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther summoned Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs assigned to attend her, and ordered him to find out what was troubling Mordecai and why. So Hathach, or Hathach, went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened to him, including the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay into the royal treasury for the destruction of the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the text of the edict for their annihilation, which had been published in Susa, to show to Esther and to explain it to her. And he told him to instruct her to go into the king's presence to beg for mercy and plead with him for her people. Hathach went back and reported to Esther what Mordecai had said. Then she instructed him to say to Mordecai, "All the king's officials and the people of the royal provinces know that for any man or woman who approaches the king in the inner court without being summoned, the king has but one law, that they be put to death unless the king extends a gold scepter to them and spares their lives. But 30 days have passed since I was called to go to the king." When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer: "Do not think because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this?" Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai: "Go. Gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went away and carried out all of Esther's instructions. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom it will be given you." "If it please the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." "Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, "Now what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom it will be granted." Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this: if the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home. Calling together his friends and Zeresh, his wife, Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials. "And that's not all," Haman added. "I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave, and she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate. His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a pole set up, reaching to a height of 50 cubits, and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai impaled on it. Then go with the king to the banquet and enjoy yourself." This suggestion delighted Haman, and he had the pole set up. That night the king could not sleep, so he ordered the book of the Chronicles, the record of his reign, to be brought and read to him. In it was found recorded there that Mordecai had exposed Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, who had conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. "What honor and recognition has Mordecai received for this?" the king asked. "Nothing has been done for him," his attendants answered. The king said, "Who's in the court?" But now Haman had just entered the outer court of the palace to speak to the king about impaling Mordecai on the pole he had set up for him. His attendants answered, "Haman is standing in the court." "Bring him in," the king ordered. When Haman entered, the king asked him, "What should be done for the man the king delights to honor?" Now Haman thought to himself, "Who is there that the king would rather honor than me?" So he answered the king. For the man the king delights to honor, have them bring a royal robe the king has worn, and a horse the king has ridden, one with a royal crest placed on its head. Then let the robe and the horse be entrusted to one of the king's most noble princes. Let them robe the man the king delights to honor, and let him on the horse, and lead him on the horse through the city gates, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Go at once, the king commanded Haman. Get the robe and the horse and do just as you have suggested for Mordecai, the Jew. Oh my gosh, I love this part. Do as just as you have suggested for Mordecai, the Jew, who sits at the king's gate. Do not neglect anything you have recommended. So Haman got the robe and the horse. He robed Mordecai and led him on horseback through the city streets, proclaiming before him, this is what is done for the man the king delights to honor. Can you just picture this scene? After Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman rushed home, his head covered in grief. He told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had happened to him. His advisors and all, and his wife Zeresh said to him, since Mordecai, before whom your downfall has started, is of Jewish origin, you cannot stand against him. You will surely come to ruin. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hurried Haman away to the banquet Esther had prepared. Oh my goodness. Dying. I love this. I love this. I love it. I love it. I love the fact that this historical narrative, this true account of these real people, is recorded, and the author does such an amazing job at capturing the truth of the account and then making sure it aligns so that we catch the coincidences, and it just so happens, and the irony and the sick humor, really, in a way, of what is going on in this case here. It's so brilliant. All right, so now we want to think ahead to day 10, and this should take us to, there we go, day 10, lesson 5, day 10, write and memorize the word. And so, as we always do on our days, we write and memorize, but for this particular day 10, you're going to do this. From the many passages we've read and meditated on in this lesson, write out one that has been especially meaningful to you. Write it in your own handwritten style, or design a graphic using an app that you like. I happen to use an app on my phone that I really enjoy. It's very easy to use. It's called Word Swag. I think there's a fee to use it, but I make so many graphics, it's super duper worth it to me. There's a lot of other graphic apps that you can use. Another one I use is PicMonkey. I use Canva on my computer, and then Snapseed. And then, what's the other one I use? Let me get my phone out and see. Just because it's fun to have them. And each one of these apps gives you kind of different, what's this one? Oh, PhotoGrid. That's the other one. So, another one's called Text on Photo. So Snapseed, Word Swag, Text on Photo, PhotoGrid, PicMonkey, Canva, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot. Or just handwrite it. Make up your own. So it's fun to do that. Or just design it in Word. Whatever you want. Make it fun. Have fun with it. These are really popular these days. You see people posting these all the time. So I thought, hey, let's handwrite our own. Find a good verse that you like from this passage. I'm sure you can think of a couple. And then write it out and make it artistic and have some fun with that. Maybe work on it each day so that you can really put some good effort into it and not just slap it together at the last minute, which is fine too if you happen to have to do that. But it's nice to create something that you're really, really, really proud of and really nice, maybe even frameable, right? Okay. When you're done, be sure to share it on Instagram, Facebook, send it to just a few friends. If you're not on social media, that's fine as well. And then send some thoughts about what the passage has meant to you and what you're learning. And you know, use God's word, obviously, is to grow in your own faith and to edify yourself and your walk, but use it as a way to share and love and witness and get the word out there to other people as well. All right, let's head back home. And there we go. So in our dwell in the word portion for today's lesson, I'll just I'll just go ahead and read it to you. Welcome to lesson 5. Over the next 2 weeks, we will read, write, memorize, and study our way through Esther 4:1-6:14, along with Psalm 42:1-10. Reminder, one of the goals of this Bible study is to help you to develop the skills of a good student of the Word. Read Esther straight through without referring to any notes or commentaries, like we just did. Good job. Use only the maps and the references in your Bible. It may be tempting to read notes or commentaries, but do the work of your own personal study. Pray for wisdom and understanding as you read. I add that phrase, that sentence at the end, because sometimes people get a little intimidated to just think they could read and understand on their own. But I believe that if you come to the Word with a heart for God to teach you, and you pray to that end, God, help me understand your Word. I know that you will be blessed because God has given you the Holy Spirit. You're going to understand it. So read and trust that the Holy Spirit's going to guide you in your reading. And after you've done your own due diligence through the Word, then consult study guides and commentaries. And as I've told the women in Bible study before, you've probably heard me say this, don't use a commentary. Use 10. In other words, don't fall into the trap of just picking one commentary and reading it for thoughts or ideas about the passage. If you're going to use a commentary, you really need to use several others because everybody's going to have a different view and you might even realize, oh, they contradict each other. And then you will have to use your wisdom and discernment and make a decision on what you think best represents what the Word is saying. All right. Share with me what you're learning as well. All right. So try this. Don't just read Esther. Read it aloud, like I just did to you. Read it to your spouse or your kids or with a friend. And you'll find it really changes the experience. So enjoy doing that and, you know, get into it and have the kids do it. It's fun. And a shout out again to my goddaughter, Angelica. Hello, Angelica. You're doing such a good job with this. I'm really proud of you. And Angelica is doing this study along with all of the other women in this Bible study, and she's been amazing. So if you've got kids at home and they are, I would say, a fourth grade level or above, they would be able to do this study. Obviously, if there's content that you feel coming up that the way it's been worded or the direction I'm taking in the study might be difficult or maybe mildly out of their range in terms of emotional or spiritual maturity, guide them through that part. But what's interesting is when I type up a document like this, I can run it through a few different metrics to tell me what the reading level is of the document. It helps me to make sure my vocabulary isn't too high or too low and so on and so forth. So having done that, this document that you're reading is actually at a low fifth grade level, which makes me laugh sometimes when people say, it's challenging, this is really difficult. I'm like, it's not. It's just you haven't been challenged to maybe think along these lines in a while. But actually, it is written at two different metrics I use to evaluate this. And both metrics line up to, one of them lines up at just a pure reading vocabulary level at about the low fifth grade level. And the other one lines up at a little bit higher, which is more of the comprehension part. And even that one is really only at the middle school level. Nothing even remotely higher than middle school for sure. I think the highest level I've gotten on this one has been like at middle of seventh or eighth grade tops. All right. So any kid could do this Bible study. You put that in front of them, let them go through the Word of God. All right, so as you read, this is different than our previous one. I've changed it a little. I want you to take a look at this. Write your questions and key observations. Note repeated words and phrases. And then note the just so happened type of events, the apparent coincidences in the text. And the rest is the same that we've had before about highlighting things in brown or green, pink, blue, and so on. All right. And then the link for the maps, you can use that to help you as well. Here's some quick review questions. I'm going to read those to you. And since they're personal opinion, I'm going to let you fill in the blank and hear what you have to say. How would you describe Mordecai's character spiritually, morally, personally? On what actions do you base the description of Mordecai? We've got to know him now. And we've seen him in a couple of very key portions throughout these first 6 chapters in particular. And so write it down. Esther is chosen from amongst hundreds of other women, some hopeful of this honor, others perhaps dreading it. How do you think Esther felt about being crowned? And how might the other women have felt seeing her crowned? And then draw a timeline of people and events from Esther. And I honestly feel like the timeline is, if I could not just being a straight linear line. I mean, that's how you could do it, but I visualize it more of a zigzag going up and the highs and then the low lows and then the high and then the low and then the seething and then the confusion of Sousa, right? All that. So illustrate it in some way that makes sense to you for that. Okay. We will pick up here where we left off. Lesson 5, day 2. Tomorrow, or whenever you listen again to this podcast or watch this video. As always, thank you for being here with me and with all of us in this study. Be sure to leave a couple comments, say hi, tell me something you're enjoying and learning, and share. Let other people know that you're enjoying this study as well. Until we meet again, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.